Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. All the Devils Are Here by Bethany McLean, co-written with Joe Nocera, is a narrative investigation into the 2008 financial crisis and the decades of decisions that made it possible. Rather than pinning the collapse on a single villain, it traces how incentives, ideology, and institutional habits across Wall Street, Washington, and Main Street slowly aligned toward greater risk. The book is known for connecting complex financial instruments to the human motives behind them, showing how mortgage lending, securitization, and the rise of giant financial firms evolved into a fragile system. It also highlights the role of housing policy, credit rating agencies, regulators, and global capital flows without treating any one group as the sole cause. Written in an accessible journalistic style, it aims to explain not just what happened, but why so many smart people failed to see the danger or chose to ignore it. The result is a cautionary history about modern finance and accountability. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a crisis built over decades, not months. A central theme is that the 2008 meltdown was the endpoint of long-running trends rather than a sudden accident. The narrative follows how American finance transformed from relationship-based banking into an assembly line that originated loans and rapidly sold them onward. As competition intensified and profits became tied to volume, the system rewarded short-term gains over long-term loan performance. The book emphasizes how deregulation, regulatory gaps, and a broader faith in market self-correction created space for risk to migrate and multiply. It also describes how consolidation produced financial conglomerates whose size and complexity outpaced effective oversight, encouraging the belief that major institutions would be rescued if trouble arrived. The housing boom provided the fuel, but the machinery had been constructed earlier. New funding models, expanding leverage, and a growing reliance on market prices as proof of safety. By showing the crisis as an accumulation of choices, the book argues that preventing a repeat requires addressing incentives and structures, not merely punishing a few bad actors from the final act. Secondly, the mortgage machine and the erosion of lending standards. The book details how mortgage finance shifted from careful underwriting toward mass production. In this model, lenders and brokers were paid for closing deals, not for ensuring borrowers could repay. As demand for mortgages grew, standards loosened and new products proliferated, including loans with low initial payments and limited documentation. The narrative explains how these changes were not only about greed, but also about competitive pressure and the belief that rising home prices would cover errors. It also examines how borrowers, often encouraged by easy credit and optimistic messaging, became participants in a system that made risky choices feel normal. Importantly, the mortgage market did not operate in isolation. Originators fed loans into securitization pipelines that rewarded quantity and variety. The book connects the local reality of a loan closing to the global appetite for yield, showing how distant investors indirectly shaped what happened at the kitchen table. By mapping the chain from borrower to broker to lender to investor, it clarifies how accountability became dispersed and why bad lending could scale so quickly. Thirdly, securitization, ratings, and the illusion of safety. A major topic is the creation and sale of mortgage-backed securities and the way complexity can disguise risk. The book describes how bundling thousands of mortgages into bonds and slicing them into tranches created products that appeared diversified and stable. Credit rating agencies played an outsized role by assigning high ratings to instruments that depended on fragile assumptions, including continued home price appreciation and low correlation of defaults. The narrative focuses on how ratings became a form of regulatory passport, allowing institutions to treat risky assets as safe for capital purposes. It also highlights the conflicts embedded in the ratings business model, where agencies were paid by the issuers whose products they evaluated, encouraging optimistic assessments in a competitive market. Securitization was presented as innovation, yet it also enabled a detachment from loan quality and fostered an environment where models and historical data substituted for judgment. The book helps readers understand how the language of structured finance can make risk appear measurable and controlled, even when the underlying reality is deteriorating. Fourthly, Wall Street culture, leverage, and too big to fail, the crisis story is also a story of institutional behavior. The book explores how investment banks and large financial firms increased leverage, relied on short-term funding, and pursued strategies that generated profits during good times but left little margin for error. Compensation systems reinforced this pattern by paying for annual results and deal volume, not for resilience across cycles. The narrative discusses how trading, risk management, and executive decision-making interacted with market optimism, producing groupthink and a tendency to downplay tail risks. It also examines how the expectation of government support for systemically important institutions influenced behavior, even if rarely stated outright. When the system began to wobble, the interconnectedness of large firms made panic contagious as counterparties questioned solvency and liquidity simultaneously. By portraying the crisis as a web of incentives and dependencies, the book shows why individual firms could appear rational while collectively creating an unstable market. The larger lesson is that culture and structure matter as much as any particular product. Lastly, policy choices, regulators, and the limits of market faith. Another key topic is the role of government policy, oversight, and ideology. The book outlines how policymakers promoted homeownership and tolerated rapid credit expansion, often trusting markets to discipline excess. Regulators faced fragmented authority and, at times, a reluctance to intervene aggressively, especially when financial innovation was framed as progress. The narrative also considers the political appeal of rising home values and easy credit, which made warning signs inconvenient for many stakeholders. Rather than depicting regulation as absent, it emphasizes misalignment, rules that did not match the new system, supervision that lagged behind complex products, and an environment where lobbying and industry expertise shaped outcomes. When the crisis hit, emergency interventions exposed the tension between moral hazard and systemic stability, forcing choices that looked like bailouts to some and damage control to others. The book ultimately argues that preventing future crises requires clearer accountability, stronger guardrails around leverage and underwriting, and humility about what models and markets can reliably predict. In conclusion, this book fits readers who want a readable but serious explanation of the financial crisis, general audiences curious about what really happened, professionals who want a clearer narrative of how incentives interacted, and students of economics, business, or public policy who need context beyond headlines. It benefits the reader by turning a confusing event into a chain of understandable decisions, making it easier to recognize warning signs like volume-driven lending, over-reliance on ratings, excessive leverage, and regulatory blind spot. The broader life takeaway is practical. Systems fail when responsibility is diffused and when short-term rewards dominate long-term consequences, a pattern that applies far beyond finance. Compared with many crisis books that focus on a single institution or a narrow timeline, this one is especially valuable for its long view and its attention to multiple actors at once, from mortgage origination to global capital markets to Washington policy. That breadth helps readers avoid simplistic villain stories and instead understand how well-intentioned goals and self-interested choices can combine into catastrophe. If you want an accessible, comprehensive account that connects people, policy, and products, it is worth buying as a durable reference. If you would like to support Bethany McLean, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.